that's you know, Oregon is really a great homegrown story of remarkable enterprise.
You know, I think everybody's feeling the stress of meeting the need.
I'm at the University of Oregon for political science. And what do you do with a political science degree? You start a business.
There you go.
Here we are.
There you go.
Hi, this is Dr. Bud Pierce, and welcome to Oregon Crossroads. You know, I've spent a lot of time speaking about the COVID-19 pandemic, about how good we're doing in Oregon, and how things are breaking our way through good work and good fortune, and we'll take it in either case. But today I want to talk about something that's not going so well, and that's really our social discord, our crisis in Portland, Oregon. In Portland, is our capital cultural city. Our capital is in Salem, where I live, but culturally, Portland is our cultural capital. And you know, when Selma and I came to Oregon 25 years ago, one of the real attractions was the city of Portland in its proximity to Salem. So Portland is important to me and in my life, and I think to many of you. Portland, we can't imagine Oregon without a robust Portland that we can visit and enjoy. And obviously things have changed. Things have changed in Portland. And we went up a few weeks ago on a Sunday afternoon to walk around and really to view what has gone on there. And I would just say, it's sad. It's just sad what's happened to that city up to now. We went there and looked at about half the people have left town. I mean, usually in Portland, you can't find a place to park and there are people all over the place and it's really active and it was quiet. And then we walked from the Pearl to the downtown area. So many restaurants shuttered, closed, boarded over, nothing happening. And then you go to the area where more of the violence was occurring and you see the vandalism, you see the chain link, you see the plywood, you see the graffiti. Every minute or two, a police car was whizzing by. I mean, just a sad state of affairs. And that needs a change. Our Portland has to come back, and we all need to participate in making that happen. Now, let's speak frankly about what we need to have Portland come back. The first thing we need is public safety. Public safety means, it's very simple. It's really a simple concept. Public safety means that when you go to Portland, or your grandmother, or your mother, or your child, that you can go up and around and about that city, I'll talk through this. We can go up and around that city, and you can be safe. So public safety number one is your personal safety when you're visiting and traveling in Portland. That's the number one thing. So when people spend their time and their effort and their life energy creating or building a business, a building, what they've done is they've given their life to that, and they value that because all you have in life is your time. And when you commit your time to something and build it up, to watch people tear it up and to destroy it, it's just wrong. It's just wrong. And we need to really put a stop to that. Now, the question obviously is, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you make that happen? Well, number one, we need public officials and leaders in policing and community leaders and community members to sit down and buy into the concept, the simple concept that the streets need to be safe for us to occupy, to walk around in, to enjoy. And I would like to see that 24/7, 365. There's lots of places in Portland and in all our cities where at 2 a.m. you don't want to find yourself. That's wrong. We need to work on that. And we need to get to the concept that we're going to protect our public and our private property. And then we have to come up with a plan on how to do that. Now, public safety includes policing, which is dealing with people that are breaking the law in a way that's harmful, but it's really much more than that. I look at our hospital, where we have a security apparatus, but there's a lot of people in our hospital. They do a tremendous job. There are people walking around at all times, and they can communicate. And if something goes wrong with the person or situation, they rally and they get to the point and they take care of it. I really think we need members that live in the community, that buy into this concept, that want the community to be safe, to be out and about on pay, and to be really the eyes and ears and the people of the community that want the community to be safe at all times. And that when you have people that are walking around, they're generally fit, they're generally young, and they're capable, and just walking around and paying attention and talking to people and talking to business and talking, just being there as a presence, that helps a lot. Helps a lot when people want to do harm to other people to stop that, or to public or private property. So we need that robust element. And then again, in how we interact with the police and the citizens, everyone should be safe. The law needs to be upheld, but we want police safe, we want citizens safe. Third part is we don't want anyone afraid of their police or their security or their public safety people. We don't want them to feel fearful or intimidated in any way. Lots of work on that has to be done at the grassroots level. That's, you can't write a law about that. That's a cultural change, and that needs to happen. So again, we need to agree absolutely that public safety, being safe in an environment, has to be there. And our public and our private property need to be protected. And that we need to bring more resources into public safety. Generally, pieces that we don't have right now, which is members of the community on pay, getting paid to walk around and be the presence of the community and be watchful and to be present, which will help ramp down criminal activity, intimidation, and fear. And we need to really, really, really make fundamental changes so no one is afraid of their public safety apparatus, meaning people that are keeping an eye on things or the absolute police. So those are the things we have to think about. Now, the other question that I bring before you is, why are we having so much trouble? I've thought about this. Like, what is the problem here? How can we be 3 months into a situation where anywhere from several thousand people can seemingly just shut the city of Portland down, make the police hide in their precincts, set fire to buildings, plywood chain, and we can't do anything about it? I think, we're not going to name names, but I think it depends on your, honestly, on your cultural background. So, when we look at the governor of Oregon, who is a doctor's kid, interesting, isn't it, a doctor's kid, who obviously grew up in a doctor's kid environment, and I know about that. I'm a janitor's kid, but my kids grew up in a doctor's kid environment. What happens there is you look out for your kids, you protect your kids, you shield your kids from a lot of the harshness of life. And our mayor of Portland, who's a rich timber family's kid, who again had a great family, took care of them, looked out for them and all that. And I'll tell you this, having grown up in the grittier neighborhoods and now living in more prosperous neighborhoods, there's a cultural difference about how things are settled in those different groups. When you're in the affluent groups, and there's disputes, rarely is there a physical threat, intimidation, violence component. It's usually about money. And so you'll get affluent people going after each other in the court and the law and the lawsuits, and very seldom is there a physical, violent, intimidating part of society. That's not how disputes are settled. But when you grow up in the grittier neighborhoods where people are good, great families. I grew up in a great family, but there are people that want to settle things with physical force and violence and intimidation and destruction. And I'll tell you that when you grow up in that kind of neighborhood, what you are taught early on, if you're from a good family, is you just don't let that happen. You just don't let that happen. So when people are destructive and violent and threatening and intimidating, you just stop. You're not looking to harm them, but you're just going to stop that behavior. So I think part of the trouble we're having with many of our leaders, and honestly, if you look at the leaders, the background of most of our leaders, they come from nice families, good families, prosperous families. And they don't know what to do here. They really don't know what to do. And when people are violent and acting out and destructive and intimidating, you're not up there joining the mob. You don't do that. You can interact and try to calm people down, but at the end of the day is that just needs to end. And that group needs to be taken off the streets, and they need to be put before judges and charged with crimes. And it's not the first time, it's probably not much of a penalty, but by the third or fifth time, that if you're doing that, you're destroying people, intimidating people, beating up on people, You need to spend some serious time in jail. That's where you belong. And if we have judges who don't see it that way, they need to go. They flat need to go. Get somebody in there who has a practical, reasonable, common sense approach. Now, the next thing I want to comment on is this, the homelessness situation. When you go to Portland, increasingly over the years, it's kind of intimidating to have, for many people, to have homeless people come up in their face and they're, you know, if they're just homeless, it's not much of an issue, although aggressive panhandling is an issue. But certainly you have the mentally ill and you have the drug addicted, the alcohol addicted, you got people living in neighborhoods and in the parks, as if the regular citizens can't use those facilities, because honestly, when you have people that are actively mentally ill or intoxicated or just out of control, it's not very pleasant. So what the other thing I've thought about in this situation is, so we've taken regular citizens who work and live productive lives and told them they can't go to work, they can't go to school, they got to wear a mask, they got to social distance. You can't have too many people in your private event. That's legal. But you're telling me that you can't build a shelter, build a structure, tell people that don't have a place to go, that that's where they're going, tell them, put them there, that we're going to work together with social service agencies and build them up and try to help them. It's about helping people, not letting them suffer. And they're going to get off drugs, and they're going to get off alcohol, and they're going to get their mental illness treated, and then they're going to participate to help build themselves up in a way that makes them feel good about themselves and contributes to society. We can't do that. We can't do that by law or whatever, but we can do this to us. To us, and we're all actually us, there's only one of us. If we have laws, if we create a society where the laws say that we, the people who are day-to-day, practical, working, contributing people, can be so restricted by law, and we follow it, and these other poor, suffering souls who are just so out of control and have such terrible lives, and their terrible lives impact us in a hugely negative way, we can't force change upon them, then again, I'd say we need different laws. We need different judges. So, in summary here, it really comes down to simple and practical measures. We need safety in the street, safety to be there, protection of public and private property. We need to come around that concept and get everyone on the same page. We need to deal with people that are physically aggressive and violent and destructive and get them to stop. And you ask them once, and then you make them stop. And we need to take on these systemic problems that we seemingly keep washing sweeping under the rug, and we got to deal with them. The time has come to deal with them. Oregon has a great future, a bright future. I encourage you to get involved. I encourage you to, let's get Portland, no matter where you are in the state. I'm in Salem. You could be Southern Oregon, Eastern Oregon, but we all love our Portland. Let's build it up, and let's bring it back to its former greatness, and take it to a greater level than it ever has been. Thank you very much.